trust that's good for you and the sound man. Very good. Excellent. Thank you, brother. Brothers and sisters, it's good to be here with you, bring you God's word, as well as greetings to you from your brothers and sisters of Quebec, where they worship the Lord in the language of heaven. It is true, because it takes an eternity to learn it, and after 26 years of serving there, my children will tell you I'm still learning. But it is wonderful to know that we worship one God and Father, Spirit. We worship one God in spirit and in truth, and also that we are joined together in the communion of the saints, even as we sang earlier, even with the martyrs throng. So we rejoice to worship our God this evening. Bring to you God's Word, a series of message, a new itinerant preaching this time, and a member of the church said, I've never heard a series on the fruit of the Spirit. Thought that would be good for a series when you're itinerant and preaching here and there. And it's also been very good for my own soul as we learn together, how the Spirit would like us to live, bearing forth fruit. Excuse me. This evening we consider the fruit of gentleness, reading from two texts, both Old Covenant and New Covenant, beginning, first of all, a story you may be familiar with, the book of Kings. 1 Kings, chapter 19. Excuse me. First Kings, chapter 19, we're in the life of the prophet Elijah. Prophet Elijah, the fire and brimstone type preacher, we would think. Man of hard, durable character. And yet here in chapter 19, being threatened with death, he flees and desires to die and be brought into God's presence rather than continue the preaching of the word. The Lord meets him in a particular way. Reading in chapter 19, beginning the word at verse 11, it says, And he said, that is, the Lord God said to Elijah, Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. And a great strong wind tore the mountains and broke the pieces of the rock before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. The first reading scriptures, brothers and sisters, our second one comes from the New Covenant in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. You can follow with me in the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 is the beginning of exhortations for the Christian living of the church. There's a particular exhortation given to the church about the body of Christ, how the body is to live. We're reading a few verses from chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, the first three verses, and then skipping on to verses 15 and 16. And in the word of our God from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. That is the Apostle Paul. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And skipping down to verse 15. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Brothers and sisters, let us pray for God's blessing upon this reading and also teaching of His Word. Father, we are reminded again in the Scriptures that Your Word is sweet like honey, sweet and gentle even like honey. Gentle and honey, the sweetness of honey, which we enjoy. We pray, Father, that we would enjoy eating, receiving, digesting this Word of God. May it be to us our daily bread. Daily bread to feed our faith, Lord, a living faith, living through the fruit of the Spirit. Father, we pray that indeed by the Spirit who indwells Your people, that we would receive the Word of God, receive it even with gentleness, so that it might be planted in our souls to save us, a word which we put into practice in our daily life. May we indeed put this practice of gentleness into put the word into practice in the gentleness of church unity, seeking to build the body up of a body of Christ up in love and truth. As we all ask for Christ's sake and the glory of your name. Amen. Brothers and sisters, as we speak of gentleness, a word which we use from time to time, I was wondering what kind of picture you have in your mind when you think of something that is gentle, something that evokes gentleness. What do you see? For myself, when I think of gentleness, I think of a newborn baby sleeping in the mother's arms, cradled in its mother's arms, gently being rocked. A picture of gentleness for us. You probably have a different picture of gentleness. We should maybe enlarge in our picture of gentleness and use the words that Christ himself, Christ, when he speaks of gentleness in the Sermon on the Mount, when Christ gives the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, he speaks in Matthew 5 verse 5, blessed are the meek, which is a synonym for gentle. Blessed are the gentle, for they will inherit the earth. This is the greatness, the breadth of gentleness, to inherit the earth, even to inherit the new creation, to live with God in the new creation. And to think then of gentleness as a world filled with gentle men, gentle women, the new creation. We will all be gentle with one another in our words, our thoughts, our actions. And not only will we be living with brothers and sisters who are gentle, but we will also be living with God, the Almighty God, Creator God, King of kings and Lord of lords, a great victorious warrior God, Jesus Christ, who declares that he is gentle and lowly of heart. We'll be able to live with our gentle Savior. Then it will be true, as we already read in Psalm 133, how good and pleasant it is, how even gentle it is, as the French translation would have it, how gentle it is to live together in perfect unity. So, brothers, that we might have a foretaste of this gentleness, of this new creation that God is preparing for us, let us consider gentleness this evening. First of all, spending some time just describing gentleness. What is gentleness? How does the Scriptures describe and understand gentleness? Second of all, because of the greatness of being gentle, we see that it is truly God-like. And then consider God as our gentle God. And then finally to come back to us and remember that the Spirit, this is the fruit of the Spirit that indwells us. What does it mean for us to show forth the fruit of gentleness, particularly as a church? Gentle. Gentleness. How do we describe gentleness? I'd like us to consider gentleness as that particular behavior which is attentive. Behavior which is attentive to the other person. Attentive in the way that our actions, our reactions, will have an effect on them. The way our behavior will have an effect on them, and our desire is that they would receive it as pleasant, enjoyable. That what we do is gentle, and then for them it is received and experienced as pleasant, joyful. Gentleness is something which we should be able to see and understand. Philippians 4 verse 5 talks about, may your gentleness be known to all men. ESV has, may your reasonableness, but gentleness, meekness, may your gentleness be seen. So we can see gentleness, we should be able to describe it. How can we describe gentleness? Well, gentleness we can think of as being reasonable in the sense of reflecting. Reflecting upon the situation, the person, being sensitive, being careful in the way our actions, our reactions are received by others, being indulgent, patient, ready to wait. Gentleness in that sense comes from a fit heart filled with love. But it's also a heart filled with strength. The inner strength of gentleness, that character that we need to have, to which we'll come back shortly. Gentleness, if you do a study in the Scriptures, is often associated with words like kindness, patience, humility. It's often translated as meekness, although sometimes that evokes weakness. Gentleness is not weakness, it's actually strength of character. Gentleness that the Spirit would have us cultivate. We can also describe gentleness by what it is not. It is not severe, it is not harsh, it is not demanding or insensitive, indifferent, it is not cold-hearted. It is certainly not rude or aggressive, it's not violent or brutal. Gentle. Like to speak gently. Speak with a gentle voice, a soft voice. Proverbs 15, verse 1 talks about the gentle answer that which can calm the anger of another person. Gentleness, soft spoken. Such gentle answers are not very popular in our days, particularly in the media or even the social media. We've just gone through elections. We talk about our neighbors to the south. We have our political opinions. And what gets popularized? It's those harsh reactions, those strong words, commentary, which we give because we like or don't like what's being said. That's what's being shown and distributed and shared. But those who respond with gentle words, soft-spoken words, they are not often praised or shared or liked. When we speak of gentleness, we must also understand that we are not always called to speak with a soft voice. There are times to change the tone of our voice. I was talking to a lady, a believer, who was following an online class with a professor I knew well, a man with an incredible gentle spirit. And when he taught, he spoke with a very gentle voice. Not monotone, but very gentle. And as she listened to these tapes of his teachings, she said, "It's so hard to stay awake because so gentle, it kind of rocked her to sleep." It's good to have a gentle voice, but sometimes you need a little charisma, a little wake him up. But other times, there are a voice that we need to use must also communicate danger and be warning someone or insistent. When we warn someone that they're in danger, we say, "Stop!" Or when we insist and repeat a commandment that's been repeated several times, and we insist and raise the tone just a little bit so that the child or the parent or the colleague or worker can get the message. You can just think of Jesus in the temple. You remember the children when Jesus was in the temple and he cleared the temple out. He got a whip and started whipping people. And he told people why he was chasing them out of the temple. And he says, "My temple will be called a house of prayer. But you've made it a den of robbers." I don't think Jesus said that with a gentle, soft voice. He told them clearly. So what we understand from gentleness is there's an aspect of choice. We need to choose to be gentle, to respond with gentleness, to react with gentleness. And such a choice is motivated by love, a deep love for the other person. But it also draws out of a deep strength of character. A strength of character that we can choose when to be gentle and when to be more intense. If we develop that a little bit more, first of all, gentleness is motivated by love, a deep love for one another, just like Christ, who is known for his meekness, his gentleness and goodness. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 1 speaks about the gentleness and the goodness of Christ. And we want to be motivated by the same gentleness and goodness of Christ. Such love, which motivates, fills gentleness, is that the love of empathy. Empathy. Empathy, that ability to perceive what the other one is feeling, experiencing. That ability to be in their place, to fill their shoes, to understand their circumstances. Gentleness is attentive. Gentleness is attentive to what the other person is experiencing, to their needs, their challenges, so that we can respond in a gentle way. I mentioned earlier that gentleness is often associated with humility. We can think of that great definition of humility in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, that humility considers the needs of others as more important, superior, that we don't look to our own needs, but look to the interests of others. That's the humble love that motivates gentleness. We consider the other person, their needs. So gentleness flowing out of a heart, a humble heart of empathy, recognizes that the situation would call for a gentle voice, or maybe a strong word, that the critique that needs to be communicated may need to be done directly, or maybe we need to take a more indirect route, that our reactions should be lively or maybe calmer. So when we meet someone and we see that they are rushed, hurried, or when they are hurt, or when they're agitated, we love them with a gentle spirit that says, I understand. Or better yet, I want to understand. I'm listening. And we speak and ask questions with a calm voice. We're attentive to them, to their words, to their body language. But gentleness can also be much more simple. It can be simply saying, how are you? I want to know how you're doing. How are you? And then to listen, and rather than go off and speak about what I'm experiencing. Or as a commentator and describing gentleness says, it begins simply by saying, please, thank you. Things we teach our children, things which we need to remind ourselves. To request gently, please, and then thank you, sincerely. In that sense, such gentleness will evoke a positive response in the other person. They will receive it with as pleasurable, agreeable, joyful. It's so good to hear someone who says, thank you. Someone who says, I'm listening. I'd like to understand. Such gentleness opens the door. We can think of this text in 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter 3, verse 15, where we are called to give an answer for the hope we have in Christ Jesus, but to do so with gentleness and respect. The one who does not believe, the one who is hardened to the gospel, we want to see them receive the gospel, and so we communicate it with a gentleness, so that they receive the message well, that they see it's pleasant and good. But such gentleness rises out of a strength of character. A strength of character which doesn't respond with a natural reaction, but rather one which is able to stop, think, reflect, and choose how to respond, how to speak, what reaction to communicate. Strength of character. It's one reason some translations avoid the word meekness, which communicates weakness. Gentleness is really strength. Certainly we think of gentleness as a characteristic of a woman. But men should be gentle also, as should women. And both need that strength of character to choose the gentle response, the gentle words, the gentle look, the gentle body language. So if I go back to this image of gentleness as being a baby cradled in his mother's arms, maybe we can change the picture a bit and think of a man carrying a baby, but a man who has muscles, big muscles. Don't see any examples here, but that's okay. But think of a man who has got big muscles and he's carrying a newborn baby in his arms. He uses his strength to gently hold the child. Brothers and sisters, that's the strength we need to be gentle in this world, which is often rough, cruel, brutal. So we come then to consider that gentleness must ultimately come from God. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It is the Spirit of God that will produce such gentleness in us. So let's take a step back and consider God and the gentleness of God. God we know as God Almighty, but He's also a God who is gentle. He acts, responds in a way that is gentle in order to save us. And that is very pleasant for us. Very good that He saves us, His children. God, when we think of God, we most often think of God as God Almighty. We think of God as all-powerful, omnipotent, we even say. Maybe you even heard the word omnipotent. God is all-powerful. He's Creator. He made the whole universe. He's also Redeemer God, the God who in Jesus Christ defeated the devil, who defeated sin, who defeated death. He is so powerful as our God.
Which is all true. But he's also a God of gentleness. Yes, love. God is love and patient and kind. He's not severe, slow to anger. But there's also a particular gentleness to our God. Gentleness that rises out of his strength, motivated by love. So that what happens to us because of God's actions and words would indeed be received well by us. For that reason that I had us read this text in Kings. Kings, the story of Elijah. Elijah is probably the great prophet that we know as a harsh man, a strong man. The stories of Elijah that we read most often are not the one we just read about the silent, calm voice. We actually read more often the story that's in 1 Kings chapter 18, where Elijah confronts the prophets of Baal. You remember this story? Even the kids probably remember or read it. It's in all the kids' storybooks because it's so exciting. Elijah challenges the prophets of Baal to say, who is the true God? Elijah on one side, one prophet, 450 prophets of Baal. We're going to build an altar, each one, and then we're going to call upon God, the God who sends fire. That's the true God. Sounds like a great contest. You remember how it went. Prophets of Baal singing, dancing, cutting themselves, and no fire came. Elijah prays. And the fire drops from heaven, burns the sacrifice, burns the stones, burns the dust, the water, everything's consumed. Whoa! And then Elijah goes and kills the prophets. We don't talk about that part too much, but that's pretty dramatic too. I mean, if that happened today, guess what would happen? Everyone would be out there with their cell phones. Wow, look at this, man. Videotape all this. I got my phone backwards. I'm not really good at this stuff. Be videotaping it, putting it on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, sharing, commenting. It'd go viral around the world, the story. And then we start getting the comments, the debate. Elijah, should he have killed those prophets? How cruel. You should have forgiven them. Call them to say, believe in Jesus. And another one's like, no, they killed our prophets. They deserve it. And the debate goes on. We can just imagine how the story went. But in the days of Elijah, none converted. And so Elijah was still alone. His life was threatened, as you may recall in chapter 19, we read it. His life was threatened, and that's why he ran away and he wanted to die. Die, go be with God, and stop being a prophet. And that's where God appears to him. God appears to him. How does he appear to him? Not in the wind that broke the rocks. Not in the earthquake. Not in the fire. No. We read it there at the end of verse 12. And after that, after the fire, the sound of a low whisper or a thin silence. A gentle voice. French translation again. Gentle, silent, low whisper. If you were there with your camera, with your cell phone, and you videotaped it and shared it online, no one would comment. No one would share it. It wouldn't go viral. It's not impressive. But what's so amazing, it's this whisper voice of God that draws Elijah out of the cave. And in many instances, brothers and sisters, it's that whisper voice of God that draws people out to the Savior Jesus Christ. Elijah receives instructions from the Lord, and he must anoint Elisha to be next prophet. If you know something of the story of Elisha, he did many great miracles. Miracles which prefigure the work of Jesus Christ. And who is Christ? He's our mighty Savior. But then Christ introduced himself, he described himself, words which we know so well in Matthew 11, which, according to one commentator, is his only description of his true character. Matthew 11, final verses, particularly verse 28 and following. Matthew 11, 28, these words which we know so well, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly of heart, and you will find rest for your soul." Brothers and sisters, here is the Savior, gentle and lowly of heart, to give you rest. Rest from sin, from the guilt and shame of sin. rest from suffering, pain, handicaps, failing health, death. Rest also, brothers and sisters, from the fatigue, physical fatigue, the emotional fatigue we experience, but particularly that spiritual fatigue, because we're in that spiritual battle against the devil and his dominions, his temptations. Christ gives us rest because he is gentle and lowly of heart. This is our Savior. He is the strong man who carries us like a child. Or to come to the true biblical image, he's the good shepherd. Peter calls him the great shepherd, the strong shepherd, who seeks the lost sheep and carries him in his arms. Who seeks the wounded sheep and carries him in his arms. Our good shepherd, who carries us. Because he is gentle and lowly. And it is so good to know him, brothers and sisters. Not just to know our shepherd who saves us, but also to begin to live like him. So we consider the third place. What does it mean to be gentle? What is our gentleness? What is this gentleness that the Spirit of Christ who is upon Christ, what is this gentleness that the Spirit seeks to raise and grow and cultivate in our lives? Let's begin, first of all, it's the work of the Spirit. It is the fruit of the Spirit. And the Spirit, as you know, on the day of Pentecost, was poured out by Christ onto the church. And in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, there's this great text that God pours out his love into our hearts by the Spirit that he has given us. What a beautiful image. That the love of God is poured into our hearts so that it might overflow into love of God and of others. But the Spirit is not only the Spirit of the love of God. Later in Romans chapter 15, it talks about the Spirit as the power of God at active in our lives. So here is the love that produces gentleness, but also that power, that strength of character to produce gentleness. But to that all, the Spirit also adds wisdom. James chapter 3, verse 13 talks about wisdom, which is noted or marked or is described by gentleness. We need that wisdom so that we know when and how to be gentle. Again, the gift of the Spirit. While this is all the fruit and the work of the Spirit in our lives, at the same time, we are called to be active. We are to be those who will bear the fruit of the Spirit. Going into our text in Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians 4, verse 2, it says, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another. This is what you need to bring forth in your life. Gentleness of coming from the Spirit. In a parallel text, Colossians 3, verse 12, it says, clothe yourselves, and it adds several of the fruits of the Spirit, including gentleness. Clothe yourselves with gentleness. So that which the Spirit produces in us, we must also seek to grow. That gentleness which we must put on, is from Ephesians 4, is with a goal to building up the body of Christ. You can read the whole text, the first 16 verses of chapter 4, but I read those last two because it gives the goal for which we are to be united in Christ, living gently, so that, verse 15, speaking the truth in love, we grow into Christ, who's the head. That is the body that grows and grows in numbers, adding new believers, but also grows in holiness. We want to see a church which is growing together in love and for one another. And that comes in part through gentleness. So this is the gentleness which we need to raise, to grow in our own lives and the lives of the church around us. Such gentleness is not always necessarily very complicated. It doesn't have to be complicated. Gentleness can begin simply by saying hello. Come to church and you say hello. You give a handshake. If you're in Quebec, we give a kiss on either cheek. So just warning you, if you come to our church in Quebec, that's how we love one another, a holy kiss. You give a hug. Greeting one another is with gentleness. But also simply listening to one another. Asking that simple question that we ask so often, how are you doing? And then stopping to listen. Praying for one another. Congregational prayer is an expression of gentleness. As we bring before the throne of grace, God's grace, the joys and the sorrows of the church. But also as we hear the sorrows and joys of the members of the church, that we say, I'll pray for you. Or even to stop then and there and to pray with one another. The gentleness of prayer. Gentleness also comes by crying together when there needs to be crying. Laughing together when there needs to be laughing and joy. Gentleness which will remind us to contact that brother, that sister during the week and say, how are you doing? Send them a text message, I'm thinking of you, I'm praying for you. Such expressions of gentleness, building up the body of the believers. However, our text here in Ephesians, there's a warning which is understood here. When it calls to us to hold to the unity of the body of believers, there's an understanding that the unity of the believers is threatened. We don't need to look too far to see how the unity of the body of believers is often threatened. And one way to keep the body together and to avoid separation and division, particularly because of hard feelings, is through a gentleness of spirit. You've known how it happens. Two believers have a discussion about a particular theological position. Two believers have a discussion about a particular theological practice. And because they're so convinced, the discussion gets more intense. It becomes a debate. It becomes so intense that they're starting to become anger. Harsh words can be used. And that discussion, to understand one another, rather than to be an agreeable experience, is very disagreeable. Bitter, divisive. Brothers and sisters, we need to make such differences, such discussions, differences of practice and conviction to be an agreeable experience. Now we need to be clear here. We're not seeking to say that all truth is good and it doesn't matter what you believe. If you read through the full text in Ephesians, and particularly as we read it, verse 15, we are holding together truth and love, speaking the truth in love. And it's not just speaking with love or just speaking the truth, but the two together. Held together by the Spirit, because the Spirit is and His fruit is both truth and love. But in that gentleness of spirit, we need to, in our discussions, our differences, our debates within the church, the same lessons apply to the life of a couple, the life of family, working with co-workers, working with friends. We need to be those who are animated by our love, filled with humility, empathy, kindness, patience. A gentleness of spirit and love that will be slow to speak, quick to listen. That will listen in order to understand. We'll ask questions to clarify, and am I understanding what you're saying clearly? You'll also need that wisdom that comes from the spirit of gentleness, the wisdom to discern. How do we approach this topic? Is this the time to speak about it? Do we need to make a point? But particularly that force of character, that strength of character to stay calm, to control our voice, control the tone of our voice, the volume, the intensity. Sometimes we get so intense with our convictions that the other person is shut down. We control that. We also need to control our gestures, our body language. Sometimes we start sitting on the edge of our seat and we stand up because we're so intense and everything mounts. No, we stay calm, we sit back, we listen. But also in our words of instruction, words of correction, there's also words of reproach that can be spoken in a way which is gentle. As a pastor, I've always been much convicted by the text in 2 Timothy 4, the first verses where it talks about instructing, correcting, convicting reproach of the believers of the church, and then it adds, with all patience. I'm good at instructing and correcting. It's that all patience which gets hard. But that's the gentle spirit, the fruit of gentleness of the Spirit. Our desire, brothers and sisters, are in those exchanges within the church or even beyond, that it be an agreeable experience, a pleasant experience, that we don't go away slamming the door and don't want to talk anymore, but that we can actually say, I need to think about it. We need to come back to this. To give a handshake or a hug of brotherly love. Say, don't quite agree yet, but I do love you. We're still one in Christ. And then we'll see the Church of Christ grow. We'll see believers, on those who are not believers, become converts because they see the way we love one another, and we ourselves will grow in holiness. And there's nothing more pleasant than to see the church grow. what joy to see the church growing, even in the image and glory of Christ. Challenging message for us all, I would assume, brothers and sisters. And if you're thinking here, well, Bernard's got it all together, I don't. The first time I preached this message, I drove home. I got home. I went to my wife and apologized. Because I'm not always a gentleman. It's amazing how the preaching of the word can convict the one who's preaching. But that's the work of the Spirit. So we might all have an opportunity to go home, in the church, or at work, and say, I'm sorry. I wasn't gentle. But that, brothers and sisters, is the first sign of a gentle spirit. This is the fruit of a gentle spirit. And so to bear this fruit of the Spirit, we need to be in prayer, brothers and sisters. Much prayer. A pastor of nearly 200 years ago, George Bethune, made this comment. There is very little requested, I got the French translation in front of me. I'll translate it for your sakes. Of all the graces which are requested or prayed for, and of all the graces which are cultivated, the least cultivated and least prayed for is gentleness. When's the last time we prayed for a gentle spirit? But here's the good news, brothers and sisters. Gentleness is the fruit of the Spirit. And Christ reminds us in Luke chapter 11 that if we ask, the Father will give to us. And what he gives to us is the Spirit, because the Father desires to give us the Spirit more than our own fathers desire to give us good things. So if we pray for a gentle spirit, gentle words, gentle reactions, our Father will give us the Spirit so that we will become more gentle. Becoming more gentle, we'll get to know our Savior much better. And it will be so good to know that we, his sheep, being held in his strong arms. And we'll know that we are being held in his strong arms because we'll be held in the arms of our brothers and sisters as we love one another with a gentle spirit. Let us pray. Almighty God, powerful God, Creator God and Redeemer, the one who has overcome our great enemy, the devil, his dominion, death, and sin. We praise you, Almighty God, that with us you are so gentle and kind. That you've given us a Savior who is gentle and lowly of heart, so that we might find rest in Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that you'd forgive us when we are not like Jesus, when we are not gentle, gentle with one another, gentle in our families, gentle with our neighbors, co-workers, friends. Forgive us, Lord. And we pray that particularly in the church we may cultivate this spirit of gentleness, love, humble, empathetic love for one another, and strength of character to choose the right word, the right reaction, the right body language, so that we might be known as those who are gentle. Father, give us the Spirit, as you promise. Pour out your Spirit of love and power into our hearts and lives. May the Spirit produce in us that grace of gentleness day by day. Oh, Father, as we taste this gentleness, may we indeed rejoice, Lord, rejoice, as we sang and read earlier, how good and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters in Christ live together with a gentle spirit, the gentle Spirit of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.